The final lecture here is devoted to technique, how you do it, and standard operating procedure. Actually, what I'm going to give you at this time is really your basic material in terms of Scientology, whether operating in terms of groups or operating on individuals. The techniques which we have here are group techniques or individual techniques. Big step forward, isn't it? And they'll do more, you will find, any other techniques you've lined up. They do so much more that you've got to readjust your perspective on how many hours of processing you give people. But you understand that Standard Operating Procedure 5 or Standard Operating Procedure 3 remain much as before, and I will do a short rundown on Standard Operating Procedure 5 here in the class book for the professional student. Because it's an intensely workable technique and an array of techniques, and people are getting into beautiful shape all over the place with these techniques. However, at level 5, at level 6, and at level 7 there, the auditor is in difficulty. He's got a long haul. Now, actually at 4, the auditor is a little bit in trouble. So you either simply use Standard Operating Procedure 5 and take what I'm giving you now as the solution to 4, 5, 6, and 7, or you just use it for the whole technique. In other words, what I'm going to give you here is Standard Operating Procedure Utility. This goes on all steps in any condition. You find most psychotics, even just even vaguely get into communication with them, they love this game. The best part of this is this is fun. A lot of fun. But individuals that you set out to processing themselves with this technique quite often do it for a few minutes and then skip it. The reason why, it's too effective. They want to think about it, and they want to fool around with it, and they want to be logical about it, or something of the sort, because they want to fall back into the training pattern of agreement with the mesh universe. In other words, they want to go according to the lines of observe and learn and guess and figure, and what they're doing is dramatizing agreement with the mesh universe, which is get logical and get it all down and figure it out and so on. So your individual is below step 4 on the tone scale. The individual is below step 4. You won't find doing this for very long span, because it just takes him right straight out of what he's in. If he just kept going with just this, why, he just land there. Not too long a process either, but on the way, he'll get into re-stimulation, the fact he has to be logical, and he'll have a tendency to just knock it off. Whereas, as a matter of fact, it's the only route toward knowing. The only real route toward knowing is being. You want to know what that ashtray is? Why, be the ashtray for a second. You'll find out what it's all about. Not that it has any hidden influence or fingerprints on it or anything of the sort. You just find out what is the composition, the molecular structure in glass, that particular kind of glass. And you'll find out its brittleness and its coldness and warmth and a few other things. Very perceptive. Now, you also find out how stupid it is. In a book British author T.H. White wrote a book called Sword and Stone, a very charming book about, allegedly, the early days of King Arthur. Merlin, there is the teacher of the young king, and who is known in the book affectionately, I think, as the wart. And one of the educational processes was to take the young Arthur out and let him be things. Of course, Merlin mocked them up so that he could be them, and he had the experience of being a carp and being a few other things that were very interesting. A very fascinating literary passage. But very peculiar that it doesn't take any great magic on your own part to go through the same experience. And that is about all the experience you can go through. Any other experience line is apparently down. And that experience line is up and out. And that is being. What you're doing with this technique, in any way this technique is used, the technique will be as effective as these two things are followed. You are getting the preclear to be things in order to overcome his fear of becoming things. And as long as your target is primarily the messed universe, sixth dynamic. Say more about that in a moment. Now, your modus operandi of how you become something or how you get something under control is very simple. It's so simple it could be completely bypassed. It has to do with agreement. You get something, you agree with something, and agree with something in order to get it to agree with you. And when it agrees with you, then you change its status of agreement slightly. And you change it some more, and some more, and some more, on a gradient scale, until you can control it utterly. You'll see this in interpersonal relations. This is a salesman's technique. But it is an actual technique. If you just not practice the shadow, but let's take a look at how you would handle this in mock-ups. Now, that is actually the way you get to be things so thoroughly you are entirely in control of them. Let's not pull our shot on this. You can just agree with it and agree with it, agree with it, until you've got it sort of coming your way. And then you've got it coming your way, you put two X's on it. You put one X on you and two on it. And then it thinks this is all right, so you put four X's on it. And right then it's yours. See, that would be the way it was done. Now, you have to remember this in processing. Isn't that a terribly brief statement? It's really most ghastly important. There's a little bit more to know about this. One of the ways you do this, you see, being like something and agreeing with something and sympathizing with something are the same thing. Moving with or moving like sympathy. So that if, for instance, in interpersonal relationships, you were to degrade something slightly to demonstrate that it needed admiration and that you sympathized with its need of admiration, what do you know? You're in commotion with it. Now you're sympathizing with it. Now you change it slightly. And therefore, after that, you can control it. Men and women do this to each other all the time. It's one of the oldest moth-eaten methods. They don't quite realize what they're doing. So I give it to you in its perfect form. You don't have to guess about the method. It's very precisely that. You just tell somebody he needs appreciation, then you sympathize with the fact that he needs appreciation. And then you got him agreeing with you on this basis, and then you just put four X's on him when he isn't quite. It is just gradient scale. The next thing you know, you could control this person's whole life. Utterly. Now, that is the modus operandi of control. It's also the modus operandi behind this process. You find in this process, then, that you have several levels of attack. The first one is simply this. This process is in many forms or countless combinations. You know about double terminal. The process, then, could be utilized in its simplest form. This is permissive, easy. You just keep telling the preclear to be things. I provided a list there. It's a very limited list and so forth, but it's quite representative. It's a list. It's merely a list of words, nouns in English, which are suggestions, just things to be. You'll find an awful lot of them are messed universe things. All right, things to be. And you just tell the preclear, be a floor, be a mop, so forth. At first, he gets them way out there someplace, but gradually, little by little, without you forcing him or anything of the sort, first thing you know, he's a mop. I'm perfectly happy to be a mop. Now, you could just go on like that, by the way. At first, he'll tell you no, and he'll tell you there's something bad about this mop, and he'll tell you there's something bad about something else, and something bad about something else, and it's bad over that away, and it's bad over that away, and it's bad over this way, and it's bad right here. And he's liable to remark this considerably. He wouldn't want to be a mop. He wouldn't want to be a rock. He wouldn't do this. And gradually, he can be still things very easily. He said, what do you know? Mind being a mop, mind being a floor, so what? Now, you just step him up one. And you introduce motion. Let's be a mop in motion. A floor with something in motion on it. Let's be all these things now with the motion taking place. And now, after we've got him completely settled on that, let's let him be all these things where some collision is taking place. One thing is hitting another thing, or something is blowing up, or something unexpected is happening in each case. All right, now let's be a car and have its motor blow out of the hood. A guy wouldn't like to be that right off the bat, but you find if you've worked on a gradient scale, that he was very happy about this. Now, how far do you go with just that simple, stupidly simple process? Be something would be to perceive something and also to perceive from its viewpoint. Isn't that right? Furthermore, you're going to specialize more in mock-ups than you are in actual objects. You're not going to say, be that sink, be that flower. It'll be a sink, be a flower. Mock-up things. Now, you're not even going to care much whether he's in the real universe or whether he's mocking up what he's being. But the truth of the matter is, that his ability to be is his ability to perceive. So he tells you after a while, well, I don't know what a pump feels like. This tells you one thing. This tells you he is opening up to the point. You have never informed him of this, but he's actually getting up to a point of curiosity. I wonder what a pump does feel like. Well, it's not up to you to tell him how a pump feels. You just tell him to be a wash basin and be a bird be a weather vane, and be something else, and be something else, and something else, and something else. And he'll say, you know, I don't think that a weather vane is this cold. Now, you'll notice something else happening. At first, if he's being the things right where he is exactly, he will have a very limited view. Because he'll be right where he is. But then he will begin to gather more and more environment. And he'll catch on to more and more environment, and more and more environment, and more environment, until he is a weathercock, but he comments to you upon the view of the countryside, not on the quality of the weathercock. Was he getting big? See? Now, you don't double terminal or anything else. That's its process in its simplest form. And all you have to do, all you have to know, is that you specialize in the messed universe objects. Only this is all perfectly all right to have him be anything else. That list is pretty good, except that list doesn't have communication objects in it. It's missing on all its communication objects. I don't know whether this is bad or good. You don't even particularly have to have those in. But a lot of people are unwilling to be letters. They're unwilling to be telegrams, for obvious reasons. So it doesn't matter, because that's adding too much idea into it. So let's not worry about that. Just take that list, 200 basic nouns as represented in basic English. Its list is available any place, the nouns in the 850-word basic English. You just go over those, and any variation you happen to think of going over those. Pretty clear, sitting down, you've got somebody else there. You're giving it to two people simultaneously. Much better. Two processes for the cost of one. You're going to pay attention to the preclear, but the other guy can do it too. That's very good, by the way. That's very smart of you as an auditor. Get two terminals there. If they're both doing the same thing, that's wonderful. Well, you can do this to 30 people. See, this as well. Simple process. First, you want them stationary. And next, you want them in motion, and then you want them in preferably destructive condition for action, or in motion destroyed. In motion destroyed. An old mop on a dump heap. All right. Your pre-clear, is he going to get them in this order? Most of your pre-clears will. But very often, you'll get somebody who feels quite hectic about life, and they will get them in motion, hectic motion first. Uncontrolled, hectic motion. Do you interfere with that? Do you change it? Do you do anything else to remedy this? No, not a thing. You see, that's your big test of how alert you are. Now, his perception will observably get better and better and better, but not just on his mock-ups. This has an immediate reaction and influence on his ability to perceive with his messed beingness, too. But we mustn't overlook a couple of things with regard to this. By throwing him into these things one right after the other, we're going to clip on incidents, aren't we? We sit down and process any of them? No, we do not. It's real tough. We just don't. Where do we want these objects, in the past or in the present? We want them in the present. The greatest certainty of object will be a mocked-up object. Is he certain that he mocked it up, and is it his that he is being? That is the best object. But in your processing of this individual or individuals, you're going to find that you're going to open up an awful lot of doors. And the fellow's going to want to tell you all about it. And you just tell him to be a mop. Because what he thinks about it doesn't amount to a hoop and a holler and a tinker's dam. I'm sorry. But what he conceives about the beautiful methods by which you perceive shoe leather, while you're in shoe leather, and how he can see actually that this is why the tanner does what he does and all that sort of thing. That's all interesting. Don't cut his communication line to a point where you're pushing him in the face all the time. But he's dramatizing. If he starts telling you what he thinks about, he's dramatizing logic. And that's what you're running out of him. So, of course, expect it to go into restimulation. Logic, learning of that character is directly counterpointed against beingness. Learning about something is by some other method is entirely different than being it. You see? Learning about it over here is some other method. Being. So just remember that his logic is going to go into restimulation. And if you as an auditor spend any time whatsoever listening to what he thinks about logic, you might as well spend your time going out and watch somebody pitch horseshoes or break glasses or something of the sort. Any kind of action, it's of no importance. Because that's what you're running out of the guy. This doesn't mean that a fellow shouldn't be clever, that a fellow shouldn't be smart. He should be. But boy, you get so much smarter, you'll hardly know him. If this fellow starts out being very logical and very smart at the beginning of the process, his IQ is going to go out of sight. But rapidly, you see. You're not destroying any of his memory, but logicizing on this could sure slow you way, way down. Just let him be. Now, supposing he had a weak heart. Well, if you're not pushing him into things to be, you're not shoving him into everything, if you're letting all this take care of one way or the other, you'll find out that he will get into much easier brain condition. Why? What's tension? Tension is a collapsed communication line. This thing they've been talking about called tension. Once upon a time, this guy by the name of Spooner Duff or something lived about 30 years ago, had a technique known as relaxation. I think the fellow laid down with a hot water bottle across his middle or something of the sort and got well. 200 years ago, 2,000 years ago, they used to take mineral baths. Relaxed them and they got well. They used to hypnotize people and they relaxed them and they got well. And the doctors give them phenobarbital and it relaxes them and they get well. And so on. Any relaxation then of a communications line will make a person well to a somewhat slight limited degree in over 3 or 4% of the cases treated. All right. Why is it then that changing an environment will make somebody well? Why is it that just by educating him, even by the old creaky standards, would have very often improve his beingness and his state of mind? Why is it? Why change his environment and the fellow gets better? See, there are three valid therapies. There were. There aren't, no. There were three valid therapies. You processed him, or you changed his environment, or you educated him. Well, now there's one of them, because you're doing the same thing. When you start changing his beingness around, you're certainly going to change his environment, and when he gets to be being various things, you'll certainly become educated about him in the finest possible way. So we've lumped these three possible processes into one thing. Because the environment, of course, you change his environment, you change his communication lines. He didn't get any more yap from his mother. He didn't, so on. You change his environment. In other words, he went out of restimulation, you see. So you change his communication lines. If you change his communication lines, you change his level of beingness. You educated him, you fed him in a nice, calm, smooth communication line, it changes his level of beingness. Easy to see. All right. This, then, is the simplest of the simple. And that's just mock-up beingness. You take a group and you can just go on by the hour on this stuff. Your imagination can have them be automobiles running into trains and all that sort of thing. You'll find out that it's very interesting, the number of things that you can do in a variation of this. They'll get a lot better, and they'll get a lot better, and they'll get a lot better, and a lot better, and a lot better. But this isn't all the technique there is to this. You can just put this one down as something that you can just reel off by the hour. Now, the manifestations, as I've told you, will crop up, and anything you know about auditing any place is liable to show up. Anything's liable to show up on something like this. So don't be dismayed, and be quite ready to send for the fire brigade, namely you, and put out the fire. Because if you take some fellow that's pretty red hot and pretty neurotic, and you start him being a lot of various things, you're liable to hear some wild chatter. You're liable to say, I know what's the matter with me. I've got another Thetan hanging on my ear who is trying to get into my head. And now I know what's wrong with me. Yeah, that's all it took. Nice hidden influence like that. That's all it took. Believe me, it really triggered. What do you do in a case like that? You pay attention to this? No. You validate it if you pay any attention to it. You shift up his beingness into something else. What happens to this guy eventually? This is why this shouldn't be uniformly in the hands of a professional auditor. It shouldn't be handed out very much. This guy's going to start to be the things around in the room. He'll be the things out in the street. He hasn't any fear of being these various things now. And he'll start to be these various things. And it's very happy he is. You've got a theta clear on your hands. You better remember that. Everything you know about Theta Clearing is right there. It means that he can change his beingness by changing his postulates, and it means this, and it means that, and it means so forth. And all the data which you can scrape up on this subject applies. But the fellow, if you keep it this long enough, he'll just simply go on out of his head. That's all. Not the right way, which is to get an electric shock and be driven out of your head. Everybody knows that's the right way to do it. But the wrong way, that's by using Scientology. So that should be remembered. Now, why is it that you're going to rehabilitate the sixth dynamic? Why the sixth dynamic? Everybody knows it was Mama and it was Papa and so forth. As a matter of fact, on the surface, it apparently is those people. Those people happen to be in a level of sympathy with the pre-clear. In other words, they're about the same height, same size, same environment, and naturally he's going to be in sympathy with them. Now, you can take double terminals on these people, and you can do wonderful things for a pre-clear, just wonderful things, you see, by processing these people. Well, why then the sixth dynamic? What's wrong with your pre-clear? The ability to estimate effort is the ability to use force. And the pre-clear who has an engram bank that's liable to cave in on him, or who can't handle things in existence, or who's pinned down in beings, is unable to handle force. If he cannot handle force, he can't destroy anything. If he can't destroy anything, he's stuck with every memory he's got right up tight. Furthermore, cause and responsibility are intimately associated with force. And what's force? Force is the sixth dynamic, the messed universe. Furthermore, because everybody knows it's grandpa and grandma and all these other things, it obviously must be and couldn't possibly be anything else. Anything that is that well known isn't so. That's that. Must be something very insidious. And it is. My God, what do you think would happen if you stepped off this top step out here and didn't step on the rest of the steps? That's space and gravity waiting for you right there. Can you see gravity? No, you sure can't see gravity. Or how about sound? You can't see any sound. Well, how about all these other things, these other manifestations of messed universe perception? What about those things? Can't see them, can't feel them, but really through the messed body, they're sort of there. And, well, that's a mystery as long as force itself is something the individual won't touch. If you want to rehabilitate force, you don't rehabilitate anything, but you'll find out the sixth dynamic. You'll find out, for instance, this. A fellow will tell you, well, this happened in my life, and that happened in my life, and something else happened in my life. And then what do you know? You find out that his decline was coincident with that automobile accident. Maybe all these things were wrong, you understand. And you could process them and make him much better. But you find out it was that automobile accident which marked the moment of his actual decline. He didn't feel good after that accident. He kind of felt funny about life. And you find out that this fellow, all his various things occurred in his early childhood, and his dog did this, and then they stole this and that, and he was taken away by the gypsies, and they turned him into a horse or anything you want. Something horrible was wrong with him. And they keep telling you, fifth dynamic, fifth dynamic, fifth dynamic, merely because the fifth dynamic's the one they're in best communication with. You want to process something with which people are in good communication? No, you certainly don't. You want to get something that'll get their communication level up. Well, then don't take their best level of communication and beat it around. Take their poorest level of communication. Poorest level of communication happens to be messed. The thetan can't see it. Tells you that's awful bad. That tells you that's really bad. He can't see it. Not worth a darn. Even step ones get out and they say, what room? They'll tell you cheerfully, sure, I know I'm in this room, I guess. I hope. Well, that is simply force. That is force in the messed universe. They're so afraid of being hit by force that they're not going to perceive force, and they just cut it off and protect against it and all that sort of thing. What are their anchor points? Their anchor points are force. Force in the messed universe. You stand around a machine which is running at a very high rate of speed sometime and be calm. and ask yourself this. Can I be absolutely certain that it's not going to fly off its flywheels? Can I be? The second you've asked yourself that, you sort of feel, I don't want anything to do with that machine. You find yourself backing up toward the passageway or something. Not noticeably, you understand, because we must all be brave. And another thing is people have a terrible fear of becoming missed, which is so bad, they don't even express it. They say, I don't want to die. They think they become missed if they die. The idea of being buried in the cold, cold ground and becoming so much mud, that's a favorite idea with science. The leading scientists of this age all know completely that man came from nothing but mud and he's going back to nothing but mud, which proves it wrong, utterly wrong. Anytime you get the leading scientists of the world agreed upon something, skip it. Now, their whole attitude demonstrates then that they must be fixed on something. We talk about mud and more mud and so on, and they must be kind of fixed on something. Well, not so long ago, they were fixed on another thing entirely, and everything was explained in terms of an unseen, unknown, unknowing, but all-knowing God who had a devil mixed up in it somehow or other. We never mentioned him, you see. Never mentioned the devil. And there was no communication, except maybe there was, and everybody was safeguarding the communication line, which maybe it existed, maybe it didn't. Boy, they ran that thing out. Of course they got into science eventually. The science is closer to an agreement with the messed universe than a worship of God any day of the week. It's far more debased. And also much more practical. You see, actually man has been playing a very interesting race here. It's quite an interesting race. Could you get that low? Could you be as low as a physicist? could you get that low and risk it? And somehow or other reach into the lion's mouth and pull out the answer before you got caught. And he did. They got brave enough to get as low as going to school and becoming engineers. And it paid off, but not very. It paid off, but it had no business paying off. That's a fact. The guys who go out and build an atom bomb are on the way up. Boy, they've agreed with MEST, and they're in a level of uncertainty where they know nothing. Talk to one of these atomic scientists. He's just walking around saying, let's see, protons, molecules on the fusion side, and I hope that last equation I had was all right, but I was not certain about that. When the bomb goes on, I'm not quite sure about that. And let's see the number of fission units per Erg. You say, what are you talking about? And you say, well, I was just thinking about my work this afternoon. He's on an uncertainty. In other words, he's come to the parting of the ways. Everything was perfectly all right up to the moment he got there. And now he finds out that this stuff has an intolerance for being together to such a degree that if he pushes it just a little harder, it blows to pieces. And he would like to put a smooth face on and tell a university president who is president of the university, see, because he's a good football coach or star or he's a good promoter of stadiums or something. And he hates to go around to the president of the university and say, you know, old man, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Very few people will do this, by the way. I don't think I would. Although I do all the time. and so he gets himself really bogged down. Physics right now is in a whole flock of maybes that are just going off in all directions. You talk about scattered chaos. Really, you're looking at it when you're looking at nuclear physics. The mathematics they go by is put together with matchsticks. So anyway, this is your exact science. Anyway, you get missed is the most dangerous thing. Can be predicted, can it? You're not quite sure. You're never quite sure. Well, anything you're never quite sure about and utterly dependent on, oh, look out. Look out. Now, what do you do with this mess? Do you walk out here and you step off the edge of a cliff and you fall 200 yards and you go down into the bottom of the canyon with a squash? Now, of course, you get up at that moment and you take a stick and you beat the canyon. Or do you? Can you ever punish this stuff? Did you? What period was it in your life? And by the way, you probably have a recall on this if you fish around a little bit. What period in your life was it that you found out it didn't do any good whatsoever to kick a rock back? Well, that was one of the biggest moments of defeat that you had in your life. That was really the biggest moment of defeat. You found out that this rock would not listen to reason. Well, don't look around for something that's capable of reason, such as animals and man, to establish the most effective method of aberration. Look at something that won't reason. Mest won't reason. Well, let's look at that sixth dynamic, and when we're doing beingness and so forth, let's specialize on that fact. You know, one of the first things your preclears start getting, you know, this stuff's treacherous. I'm this tire, and boy, do I feel treacherous. You know, I'm just sitting here just waiting to explode at the wrong moment. And all these various things that he's happily put out of sight. Now, he goes unconscious when the mess gets too rough. In other words, he just resigns. The Thetan, who really can't go unconscious, has actually got it figured out so he can go unconscious. He's that bad off with regard to the sixth dynamic. Now, of course, man does become an engineer of punishment along these lines in which the sixth dynamic is applied. But remember that he's using something in which the individual is thoroughly trained. When you punish a child, you are using his thorough training and the thorough training of his body that force is applicable. And you're using the fact that when force is applied, that he can't do anything about it. See, he knows that. So in the face of great force, he quits. Your individual has quit to the degree that he will not face force. And your individual is sane to the degree that he will not use force on man. But he's crazy to the level that he'll refuse to use force. That sounds a little bit chaotic, doesn't it? It really isn't. An individual who will go out and know all about force and be able to handle force and then turn around and attack life with it is really nuts. He really raving. He belongs in the Pentagon building or someplace. Now, whatever you realize about processing, you'll see this one coming true. And you're going to see a lot of engrams come in, a lot of smash come in. Your job as an auditor is plow on through. Now, let's go at the rest of this very, very rapidly here. Now, let's take this as a professional addressed to one preclear process. This is a real fancy one, and you will see more aberration go by the boards faster than you've ever seen before. This isn't just the slug, 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 go on and be, be, be. Now, there is a variation of a slug, 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 go on and be, 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 be technique, and that's the double terminal everything. You can vary it that way, or you can always put it out here in front of you. But let's continue with how you become something, and let's carry the cycle all the way through with being processing. You see, you become something by agreeing with it, and that's what you're doing with B, 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 B. It's just the general run of processing, you see? You're just making the fellow kind of agree with it, but he's kind of finding out about it. And because he's only agreeing with mock-ups, why, he's in good shape, you see? It's all right. You can agree with your own mock-ups anytime you want to. They're not very dangerous. Now, let's look at this then at the level of the whole operation. You sympathize with something. Let us say you go through the same motion as it, and then what? Change it into you. And that's it. Now, do you see that technique? All right. Now, you see. All right. Now, be a beanpole. Okay? Are you a beanpole? Now, change the beanpole into you. Now, good. Now, be a book. Now, change the book into you. All right, now, you understand that you're probably doing this. He's probably doing this out in front. You don't much care where he's doing it. Just let him elect where he's doing this. Now, you say, now, be a table. Now, change the table into you. Now you say, be a library, change the library into you. Now be a tree, change the tree into you. Now be a textbook, change the textbook into you. You say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. He said, go on now. Oh, no, he says, there was the funniest feeling about this. The funniest feeling about this, he says, it felt like I got unglued or something. And you say, well, that's fine. That's fine now. Be another textbook. All right, you another textbook? Now, ripple your leaves. Come on. Got that now? All right, now change the textbook into you. Oh, it happened again. That was physics. My brains are all feeling loosened up. I feel good. And you say, all right, now, be a bed. Be a bed. Now, change the bed into you. Yeah, I said, that's certainly good. Now, be your office. Be the whole office. Now, change the office into you. Guy says, no. No. No, he says, this feeling I've always have on the end of my nose is one of the walls of the office. It just went away. I've sat in that place all that time. What you did was complete the cycle. You completed the cycle. Now remember, to become something completely, of course, you imitate it just to make it into you. And if you cannot imitate it to turn it into you, then you can't imitate it thoroughly or control it. So this has added another factor into beingness. This has added the factor into being it and controlling it. Of course, you make it yours. You make it yours utterly. That's very fascinating. This will happen in the long run. But there is your special on just an ordinary utility auditing. But there is something that you must know about. You must be able to observe. And this manifestation will occur in it. It will suddenly occur to the fellow, hey, now, wait a minute. I kept turning those things into me, but I kept turning those things into my body. You know, I'm not my body. You say innocently, yeah? You aren't. No, he says, what am I? He's up against the horrible fact that he's nothing. But that he can create at will. And at that moment, you'll have to stand there with that datum and be able to demonstrate that. Now, create something to be, say. All right, I'll create this big tower, you'll say, without much enthusiasm. Now, be it. Yeah, you say. Now create something else. Now be that. Now create something else. Now be that. Now this last thing that you wear, change it into something else. Now change it into something else. Now change it into a soldier. Change it into a beautiful woman. He's being all these various things. And you've gotten him up on about the highest level of beingness there is. You see, he actually is doing this without knowing anything about it when you just tell him to be things endlessly in just standard operating procedure utility. See, he's doing that. You're asking him to do that. But he never really gets wise to it, and he never really deaborates to the degree that he should. All of a sudden, understanding has not dawned upon him. The way you give him understanding of this whole thing is to... He's what he's been trying to do for Lord knows how long was an exact thing. He's been trying to make things imitate him so they would become him. And every now and then he met a real tartar like Papa. And he would try to be Papa and be Papa and then get Papa to be him. No. He wound up stuck in Papa's valence. Why? It backfired. He never could get Papa to approve of him or imitate him. Now, if Papa admired him, that would run out all the effort, you see. And I just wiped that out. I'd say, okay, son, that was a good job. Or if he could have gotten Papa to be exactly like him, he would have won the other way. But he couldn't do either of the two things. It is an effort that a thetan was trying to do all the time early on the track. And you will find, as you process, what the whole ramifications of that early game were, because they'll just turn up in the pre-field, start doing these things, that's all. And at first, he will get awfully bored with just being this and that. Yeah, he won't like that. He'll get pretty bored with it. And he'll slop on. He'll get all kind of apathetic about it. He gets a little bit scared of it. About that time, he'll decide he wants some more processing, that is some other kind of processing. He's heard about these electronic incidents, and he wants to be run through one of these electronic incidents, and so forth. And, you know why he wants to hit the electronic incident? He wants to show you that he's not afraid of it. Get the idea? He's going to dramatize fear right there. I'm not afraid of it, therefore I want to run it. That shows you. Now, as far as the rest of the family is concerned in his own terminals, you can double terminal him up against other members of the family, and you'll just discharge everything, but you'll be much better if you just take all of his possessions and double terminal him. And that last I recommend, and the first I do not. Take his possessions and double terminal them. And those possessions, as far as life is concerned, would include his pets. But it wouldn't include any older people, any adults, or any friends. It wouldn't include living beings beyond the level of a pet. Double terminal his messed possessions. And they'll discharge. Or simply make him mock up the messed possession and turn it in to him. Two methods. The last is more effective than the first. You want to know how to get rid of these ideas and worries? Fella comes into you and he said, "Oh, I get so worried. You keep telling me to be this frog, but I can't be a frog because I keep worrying so much because of my wife. I keep worrying. I just keep worrying and I keep worrying and I keep worrying." Well, what do you do with it? You just mock him up twice facing himself and keep making put mock-ups there and making put mock-ups there and making put mock-ups there and making put mock-ups there until he can finally get himself facing himself rather stably. Or he can get his wife facing herself rather stably. I don't care which you do. Then now you say, get both of those mock-ups worrying. Then he'll have to put them up some more and some up some more. And he'll start worrying. This one'll start worrying. And that one'll start worrying. Then he'll start worrying. And then something else will start worrying. And then you just keep putting the mock-ups up and make them worry. Make them worry. And as soon as you really get two mock-ups out there, your E-meter's going to quiet right on down. As soon as he's really got two out there. And if he gets a sudden pain, he's only got one mock-up out there. He may tell you he had two, but at the moment he got that pain, he only had one. You see why that is? He was using himself as one terminal. So you can play with double terminals, get away with it. You can discharge. He doesn't like one of his possessions. Why doesn't he like it? He used to like it. He doesn't like it anymore. Have him mock it up twice, facing itself. Just let it sit there. He mocks it up a few times and gets it there. Mocks it up a few more. All of a sudden he's like, "I don't care. I like it." You say, "Okay. What was the matter with this possession? Do you know?" "No, you don't. You don't give a darn." Easy auditing, huh? Real easy. Now you have to remember this to some degree. When you make them flash in and out their anchor points, make them put their anchor points out and bring them in again, a couple of times, no matter how occluded they are, make them try to go through the effort, you'll find some hidden scenery that will tell you about where they're parked on the track. Now, what do you do? Do you work this out as an incident? Do you double terminal it? Do you double terminal the personnel in it or anything like this? This technique would be investigation of where stuck. Boy, how invaluable this would have been a couple of years ago, and now it's just nothing. How that. You get them to put out their anchor points and pull them in again. What's the operation? How do you do this? The fellow says, "Well, you just kind of get reach way out from you and pull in again, and you reach way out and pull in." Now you say, I get a picture of my Aunt Isabel standing in front of me looking at me. "Where are you?" "I guess I'm in her work basket." "Yeah, I'm." You know where he is. He's in his childhood home, and that's normally where you'll find your preacher. So what do you do? You work with him on gradient scales to make him be his childhood home. He was the whole childhood home at one time, then he lost it piece by piece. That was the process of getting educated. One by one, he lost every fragment of it. Of course, he's stuck then, locked up, and he can't be any part of it. And there's where all of his childhood memories are tied up. Where? They're in his childhood home. Well, why can't he get to them? Because he can't be his childhood home. Isn't that simple? That's why you have inclusion in childhood. Well, you just mark up the childhood home and have change it. Change it to his hat. Now, here's the technique of when he can't do this immediate beingness change. Change it to his hat. Change it to his shoes. Change it to his school books. Change it to anything personally connected with the preclear. And then gradually, more and more, the preclear. Now, do you have it changed to a little boy? No, remember, we're goal of auditing is present time. You just change it to him as a man, as he sits right there. Right? Now, is he mocking up the childhood home in terms of a facsimile or present time? You'll find out he'll start mocking it up as a facsimile, and it'll be way back on the track, and then he'll mock it up in present time. It's to just follow that he'll do this the more times he mocks it up. What's that say? This just says, convert whatever he's afraid to be in such a way as to be him. How do you use this in occupational therapy? Use this in occupational therapy by mocking up the person's tools and environment, and particularly the floor that he works on customarily, and convert it, if by gradient scales it's necessary, making it be a little bit, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more. Converting them into him. Turn the things with which he works, and where he customarily is, into him. He works on a drill press, have him mock up the drill press, and say, all right, give him as few failures, you see, as possible. You say, all right, now turn this drill press into, you could say, you know, just turn this drill press into you, but you probably won't be able to if he's worked there for years. So what do? You say, well, turn this drill press into your hat, yeah? Turn it into your shirt, yeah? Turn it into your pants, yeah? Turn it into your shoes, yeah? Turn it into a pile of clothing that's yours, yeah? Turn it into your body, yeah? Hey, what do you know? I feel better. He's just standing in front of something. Anytime a fellow stands in front of something that long without it changing into something else, he knows he's wrong. That's what being wrong is. I tried to change it, and it changed me. That's why I'm wrong. What's this process, then? Very simple process. This isn't scrambled. Now, we'll break this all down. We'll tell you, first, what's the goal of the process? That goal is present time. Find present time. I'll tell you the simplest way to find present time. I know of. The simplest way I know of make preclear find present time. This is a technique, and this is one which you could do worse than using. This fits right in with the battery we're doing right now. It's just as powerful as these techniques. The way you find present time for the preclear is to make him put an anchor point out in that corner of the room, in that corner of the room. I don't care how occluded he is. You just say, reach out and try to feel those two corners of the room, preferably corners which are even with his head. For instance, it'd be better for him to put out two that were just a little bit behind him than too far in front of him. So I'll just have him sort of reach out and feel those corners of the room, the upper corners of the room. Yeah, I got that. Feel the upper corners of the room. Feel that one now. He says, I keep feeling this one easily, but I can't feel the other one. You just say, just keep trying to feel it. Keep trying to feel it. Now, you finally got it? You finally got a hold of it? Yeah, yeah. And you say, all right, now hold on to them and just examine them. And don't think. He says, what? You say, don't think. You see, that's the mechanism which tells you he's out of present time. This constant stream of consciousness, this association, this figure, 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 that says out of present time, out of present time, out of present time. He is at the prey of circuits. Even if his communication lag index is pretty good, he's liable to have a circuit that give him an answer every 4 or 5 days. And he's in contact with these things, so all right, let's take a look. Then he's got a hold of these two corners of the room, and you say, don't think. He's also got a hold of your E-meter cans, I hope. Because if he really is trying this, you'll be able to read it on the needle. Because things will clip him. Things will go jolt, jolt. But the needle will be fairly steady. It'll be steady more or less with a series of jerks. Why will it be jerks? It's because he's letting go of all those facsimiles he's holding on to in the past, you see. He doesn't realize this. And if he goes on thinking, he's still holding on to them, and you'll get a gradual rise or a gradual drop on the E-meter, and it will be behaving in a very orderly fashion, and there won't be any jerks present. Those little jerks, snap, 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 that means pain. And if he settles down into a bop, 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 oh, you've got him in a stuck one, and he's in the stuck one. He isn't feeling the corners of the room. You just want that E-meter needle sitting there, pretty quiet, except for these occasional little jumps. Bop. Jump. Jump. Every time he jumped, you'll see the preclear jump sometimes, too, because he's getting hit. What are you doing in this case? Well, you're just throwing up a couple of anchor points out there. This is the easiest technique you ever wanted to get into. Don't double terminal this one, by the way. But that's present time, see? And you just have them feel that corner, and you have them feel that corner, and you just have them keep on feeling those two corners. In other words, communicate with those two corners. And he says, but I have to think. He said, all of a sudden, he said, a voice has just turned on just down here below my face, and it's screaming. And you say, just go on holding to the corners of the room. It's all. He says, but I can't figure out what this thing is. You say, that's it. Don't think. Just to hell with thinking. Just don't think. Just no think. No thinking, see? No think. Just shut that off. Oh, he said, I just have to grit my teeth just at the thought of having... Yeah, he said, it's awful to have to stop thinking. You say, go on, hold to the corners of the room. Real sympathetic. And he's locating present time. It's not a bad technique. It's a good technique. Really takes some concentration. Some concentration on being nothing. You're asking him to be the only thing he can be. Nothing. Simple? All right. That technique of just locating present time can be used at your discretion. But your technique of beingness, mocked up beingness, just telling him to be one thing after another thing after another thing after another thing after another thing, will get there. Any special thing? You do any figuring about this? You try to figure out where he is or any place? No, you can just keep up that. You can throw in a few things. You know where he is, but he will eventually bail out. Preferably, he's thinking in present time. That is, say he's being in present time. His concentration is coming more and more into present time as he does this. Or you can make him turn, you can make him mock things up and convert them into being him, which is an interesting technique. And you specialize on messed universe objects, that is to say, a car rather than a man, a rock rather than another boy. See? He's already convinced he can be a living being. 90% of his time, he's trying to be very selective as a living being so he can keep out of trouble. Now, you'll find that you will have to run a certain amount of people. He'll just demand it, that's all. So you just go on, you run a certain amount of people. But you have him as his father for a while, and you have him as his mother, and you have him as his wife, and you have him as something else. You quite often find a preclear who is so fixed on the idea that he mustn't be Papa that you just can't get him off any other subject. All right, so make him into Papa. Make him into Papa's shoes, and make him into Papa's this and that. And finally get him to turn around with relaxation to where he can be Papa or not be Papa at will. Because his habits and so forth demonstrate that he has a fear of turning into things. He does. He has a big fear of turning into things. And that fear of turning into things turns into a fear of perceiving, of course. And don't be very surprised if your preclear says, you know, I got a mock-up and it was almost alive and walking and three-dimensional. You see, that's just on the same line of being. You see, he has a lot of fear of beingness, so don't think that that is something special. Actually, I don't know of anything special that can turn up on this line. But this fellow who has dim mock-ups, of course, is afraid of being these things. That's all. It's so simple. Now, how good can a mock-up get? Well, you'd be very amazed how good a mock-up can get with such a technique. Any liabilities to this technique? No more than the liabilities. Certainly less liability than in any other technique we have had. Now, what do we do? Here we got matching terminals. What's about these matching terminals and so on? Why have we been studying them if all you do is tell a guy to B and tell a guy to B and tell a guy... You're trying to make a theta clear, aren't you? That's still your goal. This guy isn't a body. You want him to know it. You want him to figure it out so he can handle things, so he can be things, so he can perceive and so forth. Do you notice what a double terminal does? You have two mock-ups facing each other, and they start discharging one against the other, and if one of those mock-ups disappears, your preclear starts getting somatics. You can make this test just to prove it to you. Furthermore, you'll find a lot of preclears, they can't think they can't put up a mock-up, because every time they put up a mock-up, it snaps into them. It snaps into them so fast they don't even observe where it's going. It just disappears. The remedy for it is to make more mock-ups. Anytime you get an impersistence of mock-ups, make more mock-ups. Anytime mock-ups persist too long, mock up two mock-ups, mock up another one like it. And it'll discharge and run out. Those are the remedies. So what about this double terminal? Why is this so important? We're not even going to use this in process. And what the hell have you been talking about us all this time for? What's this? Been led astray. Been betrayed. I'll tell you why. You got to know about double terminals for this reason. Every time your preclear tries to walk out of his body, he's a double terminal. And his body starts to interact and discharge against the thetan, and the thetan, whatever the thetan's holding on to in the way of mess, starts to interact and discharge against the body. And what happens to those two terminals? They close, snap.